From the Gartner Symposium and IT Expo at the Dolphin Hotel in Orlando, Florida, PodTech.net brings you a keynote interview with Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft Corporation, in conversation with David Smith and Yvonne Genovese, two vice presidents from IT research firm Gartner, Inc. Listen in as Ballmer talks about Windows Live, lessons learned from Vista, and where Microsoft stands in the technology freedom movement. This is PodTech.net.
One of the things that we hear a lot about is the end of software as we know it. What do you think about that? Is it the end of software releases as we know it? Is it the end of software as we know it? And what does it mean for Microsoft as one of the leading software companies?
I'd actually probably say it completely differently. I think it's the a transition in software. And so we could say it's kind of a transition from software as we have known it to forms in which it will be even better. In a sense, at the end of the day, I think, and I'm obviously very biased on this topic, I think a huge percentage of the value that gets delivered through information technology comes from the software. So you can't say it's the end of software. I don't think we're at the end of major innovations that take more than 3 months to go get done. I think we're going to continue to have a research group, and it's going to work on things that will take multiple years to come to fruition. But I do think we're at a transition where software goes from being something that essentially is in its still in its pre-internet day to being something that is what we call live. Not just websites, but all software over the next few years will have the kind of click-to-run capability that you think about on a website. You click it and you run it. The same thing will be true of software products. They'll still execute down on the PC, but you'll click them and run them, and it'll work just as quick as a website.
Have we seen the end of the big, huge software projects that have caused so many vendors problems? And it's not unique to you, but do you think we've seen the end of those?
I think that, and I'll speak now for Microsoft, we need to have, let me call it various muscle types. We need to have fast twitch muscle that can ship things every few months. We need to have medium twitch muscles that can ship things every year. And we need to have slow twitch muscles that might ship every 2-3 years. So I don't think we're at the end of large scale, long cycle innovation. But I think the expectation is that there'll be enough output from these other muscles. And it is important, because when people say everything goes to short cycle innovation, that would also sort of be like saying the end of very deep innovation, which I don't believe, or very deep integration, which I think a lot of our customers appreciate, not just from us, but from the SAPs and Oracles and everybody else in this world.
So you just talked a little bit about live, and you were kind of hinted that way. But is this really the end of the way that we're going to consume software? And now we're going to all consume it over the internet, meaning all software. Where is it going to really hit the biggest, and where do you expect Microsoft to grow in that area?
Yeah. I don't think anything stops and something else starts as quickly as the hyperbole likes to suggest. And I think most people, for the foreseeable future, are still going to want to run enterprise IT as enterprise IT. More and more of it will come from internet services, but that's not going to switch over. So when I say software is going to have a click-to-run characteristic, a lot of that may be click-to-run characteristic that is instanced inside a corporation's firewall. So you don't deploy something like Office. You put it up on a server and you click to run. And certainly, if you look at what we're doing with our acquisition of this company, Softricity, Windows Terminal Server, we absolutely believe in evolving, not stopping and starting again, but evolving to this kind of click-to-run, internet-style simplicity.
Will that be across all products?
Sure.
Business applications included?
It'll be across all products, business applications included.
A promise? You're going to deliver it next year?
No. I've gotten out of the habit of promising delivery dates, except on one product, which I'm sure they'll talk about later. But I do think it's important. You know, Windows has a special position because it manages the hardware. And so it'll probably have layers architecturally, a layer that is very married to the hardware, and then layers which have very much this click-to-run feel to them.
Okay.
You've described Live as not software as a service, but software plus service to try to take advantage of where your footprint is today. How do you demonstrate the value of that difference, and how do you convince people that that's the way they want to go, and how do you balance that with your existing businesses?
Yeah, the difference between saying software plus service and software as a service, when we emphasize that nuance, it's really a question of, will people want to use the local intelligence in mobile phones and PCs, et cetera? And we think the answer to that is yes. So you may click on something that's like a service, and somehow instantly your processor locally and your hard disk locally are engaged. Otherwise, we're just going back to the world of terminal emulation, and I don't actually think that would be an improvement in the computing environment. And certainly, even if you look at internet services today, from us, from Yahoo, from Google, from whomever, they all basically believe in using the power of the client. Ajax uses the power of the client. Instant messaging clients from Microsoft, from Yahoo, from Google use the power of the client. So when we say software and service, that's our way of saying service-like simplicity and management with the rich capabilities of client-side software in addition to what's in the cloud.
I don't know what that offering could be that you were talking about that we might talk about a date. What do you mean?
I suspect, well, there was a gentleman there who asked about Vistance. Somehow I thought it might be on your mind.
So what have you learned from the difficulties in getting Vista out? What will you do differently so that this doesn't happen again?
Yeah. Vista really is three stories in one release cycle. And the one we learned the most from is actually the one that's farthest ago in time. When we finished Windows XP, we started on something, and I'll call it Longhorn, just to distinguish it from Vista. It was the first thing we worked on. And we were really trying to re-engineer all major components of Windows and get them all to rely on each other and integrate with each other. There was too much new invention going on simultaneously with integration. And that was really beyond the state of the art for us, or frankly for anybody else, in terms of engineering complexity. What we learned was we have to innovate and integrate, not trying to do both necessarily all at the same time, because it just creates too much chaos in the engineering process. After about 2 years, we stopped that. We said we can use those technologies, but we've got to do some different things. And we said, what is the job one priority our customers are giving us? It was security. So we did a year turnaround on Windows XP SP2, which I think was actually very well received and very important. And then we've had what I would call a fairly normal Windows release since then of about 2 to 2.5 years. And frankly, that core thing that manages the hardware, I don't think you want core changes, at least this is the feedback I get from customers, is you don't really want the core thing that manages hardware and applications changing every 3 months. It's probably appropriately on a couple of year cycle. So the real learning is innovate and integrate as opposed to try to do what we used to call integrated innovation.
Seems like a good case for breaking up a big software release, but that's just me. The discussion we've been having, and even the guy that was last in the video, seems to indicate that we're going through what I'll call a technology freedom movement, where we all want technology, and we want it kind of disconnected somewhere else, but we want all the agility and everything that's associated with it. Is this something that Microsoft is going to be able to deliver on?
Well, I think absolutely. And in some senses, I'd say we're better positioned to do that than anybody else, because we actually have both what I would call an end user or consumer kind of set of muscles, as well as an enterprise set of muscles. And in some senses, if you look at the last 15 years, we grew up with our end user and desktop roots. We married that with a set of capabilities in the enterprise. And we've got to let both muscles work. The end user empowerment muscle that you describe, as well as the enterprise muscle. And the whole internet phenomenon and software and service just takes that kind of sense of end user empowerment to the next level. But there's still going to be a desire to balance that with appropriate IT management, control, compliance, security, et cetera.
One of the results of users trying to take control is they're starting to question the value of paying money to vendors for things. They're used to free software from the internet. And in fact, you know, with Vista being 5 years after XP, and a lot of the folks here having signed up for SA, Software Assurance, where while there wasn't really a promise of an upgrade in the 3 years, there was sort of an expectation that they had. How do you convince them to sign up for that again?
Well, I think that, you know, the key for us, like anything else that you do in business, is to be able to show sufficient value. And we've put a lot of emphasis in our Vista release in enhancing the overall value proposition around software assurance. So you will find it much deeper in things that don't depend on a next release. We plan on giving you one, but you may not even plan on taking one. So we need value that is based upon the notion of an upgrade, but we also need value that is independent of a notion of an upgrade. That's particular to Windows. In some senses, Office has its own set of issues for its enterprise agreement and maintenance value proposition, and the server has a different proposition altogether, because what most of our customers are telling us they want most there is that they get the rapid turnaround that they really need in terms of support, fixes, et cetera.
One of the things that we see with governance, with the technology freedom, is this movement towards governance. One of the things that happens with technology freedom is that the control moves from a vendor developed control to something that the users have to have more control. And they have to have tools to have more control. And that's not a place where we've typically seen Microsoft provide any governance tools on governing an environment where the software has been broken up. What are you going to do? Do you have any governance tools that you're going to be bringing to market?
Well, you know, in some senses, we're probably still stronger on the end user freedom side than we are on the governance side. And you see that, you know, if you take a look, for example, at the new release of Office and what we've done to really put the end user in control and take more full advantage of the power of Office and SharePoint, there's a ton we've done there. On the flip side, if you take a look at the kind of work that we've done in the information rights management system, if you take a look at what we've done in Exchange for email archiving, if you take a look at what we've done in SharePoint for archival, backup, search, we actually do give, I would say, the IT community much better tool set to let the end users run wild but still meet the kinds of compliance requirements that I think are an important part of that governance question.
Theoretically, security could get worse in that kind of an environment. How do you manage that?
Well, what we've tried to do is harden the interfaces so that we have fewer points of attack. And I actually think we've done a pretty good job of that. In the security game, unfortunately, you can never say you've done a perfect job, but I think we've done a pretty good job of that. And at the same time, we are trying to let IT people, from a governance perspective, have more control over policy. If you want all of your email messages to be rights protected or aged out or retained in a certain way, we want to make that eminently possible as a point of IT policy, as opposed to the end user having to sweat those details.
You mentioned you have, you know, consumer-oriented muscles you have to flex and enterprise-oriented ones. And you know, we agree, as part of our research on consumerization, of the intersection between those things. And Microsoft is pretty uniquely positioned in both of those camps. Yet, we don't see you really taking tremendous advantage of that position. What are you doing there? What's your plan to leverage that?
The most important thing we're doing in this dimension is really building out our live platform. Because at the end of the day, the next wave of consumerization whether it at home, be it at home or be it at business, the next level of consumerization is going to come essentially from this notion of internet-based services, internet-based delivery. And so really getting our live platform built out, really understanding how those technologies affect the servers that we sell people, so you can instance, let me call them consumer-like live services inside the enterprises represented here, that's really kind of the job one priority. I think of there being a variety of pillars. There's kind of a technology infrastructure platform in the cloud. I think of there as being a commerce platform in the cloud, a community and communications platform that needs to operate as a service, a search and information management service. And each one of those will have an analog that affects our server product line. So whether you choose to consumerize out in the internet cloud or you want to instance that inside your own organizations, it's really that work that Ray Ozzie is driving for us around the live platform that I think is the next wave of that consumerization priority.
I'd like to take us back a little bit to talking about people at the center. One of the things that Gartner's been talking about is something that we call process of me, where there's an opportunity for a vendor in the market to redefine process from what we've typically seen as traditional business processes, order to cash, where there's a lot more human interaction that happens in a process, and there's some chaos that also happens in a process in order to get the process to work correctly. You seem to have all of the components, the business applications, the user productivity tools, the search you were just talking about, to provide that process of me capability. But we haven't seen you make any moves there. Why?
Well, I think if we sit here, when we sit here, they invited me back for next year as long as I don't blow it right now. When we sit here a year from now, okay.
This is a test.
This is a test. When we sit here a year from now, we'll actually see what were we able to accomplish with some of the important innovations. And I'll say it this way, in Office 2007, you'll say, Office 2007, what does that have to do with process? What we're really trying to recognize is the fact that a lot of the value in business processes doesn't come from the structured thing that's in the application. It happens with all of the unstructured activities around that process. You want to take an invoice out of a workflow. You want to move it into Outlook. You want to have a few people comment on it, approve it, because it's unusual. When you say process of me, I think about how do I merge, how do we give tools that help merge the ad hoc things people are doing back into the structured workflows in the business applications. And I think we make a major step forward in enabling that with the new, I'm not going to say perfect, but with the way Office 2007 embraces workflow, workflow services, with the work we're doing with SAP and with our own Dynamics product so that you can have Office front-end business processes. One of the folks asked about Duet, for example. I mean, it's all about how do you marry, let's call it the unstructured world of Office and email and annotation with the structured business process world. That's the only way to kind of help with the chaos I think you describe.
So does that mean that Office will be the leader in business applications and not Dynamics actually for you?
There are two aspects to business process. There's an aspect that is kind of more ad hoc, unstructured. Unstructured parts of the workflow, business intelligence, finding, browsing. We're building up an infrastructure with Office and SharePoint around that. And then there are the very formal structured business processes that go into manufacturing, general ledger, et cetera. And that is what Dynamics is all about. And our front-end Office infrastructure is going to need to talk to SAP and other back-end structured processes. And we're going to try to lead in the structured processes with what we're doing around Dynamics.
One of the big things in there is taking advantage of the chaos. So you really can't offer something that says this is the way the process is, the person process and the business process, as you combine it. But you have to give the users a little bit of a freedom to design it on the fly. Is that part of the design?
Yeah, let me give a good example that people can at least hear fairly quickly, just go try out themselves. We'll have, at some point in the not-too-distant future, a hosted CRM product out on the market. And there's a question, how do you let everybody do their own ad hoc things around that? And we think the ability to customize it, work through that with sort of customized SharePoint sites that aggregate content, create ad hoc workflows, tie to Office, so you can have a hosted SharePoint site or a local SharePoint site all talking to a fairly structured CRM-style application out in the cloud.
In part two of the podcast, find out what Steve Ballmer thinks Microsoft will look like in 5 years and how he will guide his company toward that vision. You're listening to PodTech.net.